Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
The countryside is supposed to be a place of calm, a retreat from the chaos of the city. But for one group of friends, a festive New Year's Eve turned into a nightmare they'll never forget. What began as a harmless walk in the woods became a brush with something otherworldly, something that defies explanation and haunts them to this day. Imagine celebrating with family, surrounded by laughter and fireworks, only to find yourself lured into the darkest part of the forest. For these teenagers, it wasn't just the stillness of the woods that unsettled them. It was the feeling that something was watching. A presence lurking just beyond the light of their single flashlight. So what they encountered is the stuff of folklore. A creature that splits its body in half, sprouting bat-like wings to hunt by night. Some say it's a myth, a story to scare children. But after that night, they no longer have the luxury of disbelief. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I've always been one of those people who loved the countryside. There's something about the fresh air, the open skies, and the way the stars seem to shine brighter than anywhere else. Every year, my cousins and I look forward to New Year's Eve at my grandparents' old house in the village, a tradition filled with food, laughter, and the thrill of being young and free. This past New Year's Eve started out no different. The house was alive with the sounds of family chatter, music, and fireworks cracking in the distance. My cousins and I decided to step away from the adults and explore the village just for fun. There were four of us, myself, my cousin Mia, her younger brother Caleb, and our other cousin Emily. None of us thought twice about venturing into the woods at the edge of the village. It was a place we'd played as kids, though we'd never gone too far in. We grabbed a flashlight and Caleb's old flip phone, joking that it would probably die before we even left the yard. Mia teased me about being the oldest and therefore the de facto leader of our little adventure. I laughed it off, pretending I wasn't just a little uneasy about heading into the woods at night. After all, I didn't believe in those silly stories our grandparents used to tell about creatures that roamed the forest after dark looking for their next victim. The first 20 minutes were nothing special. We walked the well-worn path, talking about school, gossiping about our extended family, and debating which fireworks display was better, city or countryside. The air was crisp, the kind of cold that makes your breath visible and stings your cheeks. We just started to feel bored when Mia stopped dead in her tracks. "Did you see that?" she whispered. "See what?" Caleb asked, his voice already shaking. She pointed toward the trees ahead of us, her hand trembling. "I swear, I just saw something move. It had wings, but it didn't look like a bird." I waved the flashlight in the direction she pointed, but all we saw were branches swaying gently in the breeze. "Probably an owl," I said, trying to sound calm. "No," she insisted. It wasn't an owl. It was bigger. Way bigger. We laughed nervously, brushing it off as Mia's overactive the imagination. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling that we weren't alone. As we ventured deeper, the woods seemed to grow quieter. The sounds of the fireworks and the distant chatter from the village faded, replaced by an eerie stillness. Even the crunch of our boots on the frost-covered ground seemed muffled. Then Caleb, who had been trailing behind us, suddenly stopped walking. "What's wrong?" Emily asked. He didn't answer. Instead, he just stared ahead, his face pale and blank, as if he were in a trance. Then, without a word, he started walking again, but this time not on the path. "Caleb!" Mia called, but he didn't respond. I jogged after him, grabbing his arm. "Just say, hey, where are you going?" He blinked a few times, like he was waking up from a dream. I don't know, he muttered. "I just felt like I needed to go that way." Emily clutched my arm. "Let's just go back, okay? This isn't funny anymore." I nodded, ready to agree, when Mia gasped and pointed to the trees again. "There it is!" This time I saw it too. A shadowy figure gliding silently between the branches. It was too large to be a bird. Its wingspan was massive, and its movements were almost human-like. For a moment, it hovered in the air, its form illuminated by the faint glow of distant fireworks. Then it vanished into the darkness. None of us said a word. We were frozen, unsure of whether to run or follow Caleb's inexplicable pull deeper into the woods, and then came the sound. It started as a low, guttural growl, almost like a predator warning us to stay away. But it wasn't coming from the trees. It was behind us. We turned slowly, our flashlight beam trembling as it scanned the shadows. For a moment, there was nothing, just the empty woods and our own ragged breaths. But then, from the corner of my eye, I saw it again. The same figure, now much closer, and it wasn't alone. I don't know how to describe what we saw, Tony. The figure hovered just beyond the edge of the flashlight's beam, its massive, bat-like wings flapping soundlessly. The torso seemed almost human, but grotesque, too pale, and covered in what looked like deep, unnatural veins. Below the waist, there was nothing, just empty space, as if the lower half of its body had been severed cleanly away. Before we could react, Caleb started walking toward it again, his steps slow and deliberate, like he was being pulled by some invisible force. "Caleb, stop!" I shouted, grabbing his arm. This time, he didn't even blink. He just kept moving, dragging me along with him. Mia screamed, and I turned to see the thing dart toward the trees again, disappearing in the blink of an eye. The wind that followed it was icy cold, cutting through my jacket and chilling me to the bone. "We have to get out of here," Emily cried, tears streaming down her face. But Caleb wouldn't stop. He was pulling me off the path now, toward a small clearing up ahead. The flashlight flickered, and for a terrifying moment, everything went dark. When the light came back on, Caleb had stopped walking, and he was screaming. His voice was raw, primal, like he was in unimaginable pain. He pointed to the ground ahead of him, and when I followed his gaze, I felt my stomach drop. It was a body, or at least part of one. The lower half of a human figure torn at the waist. The flesh was pale and unnatural, and the edges of the wound were jagged as if it had been ripped apart rather than cut. Mia and Emily were sobbing now, begging me to take them back to the house. But I couldn't move. I couldn't take my eyes off that horrific sight. Then the growl came again, louder this time, and with it, the sound of wings, closer than ever. I turned the flashlight toward the trees, and there it was. The creature was perched on a low branch, its hollow, soulless eyes fixed on us. Its teeth were sharp, jagged, and dripping with something dark. It leapt from the branch, its wings unfurling as it dove toward us. I screamed for everyone to run, but my legs felt like they were stuck in quicksand. I managed to shove Caleb forward, breaking whatever trance he was in, and we all took off, crashing through the trees in a blind panic. The creature followed us, its wings creating gusts of wind that knocked us off balance. I could feel it closing in, its presence suffocating and all-consuming. And then it stopped, When I looked back, it wasn't chasing us anymore. It was hovering in the clearing, its gaze fixed on the lower half of the body we had stumbled upon. With a sickening lurch, it dove toward the ground, grasping the torso with its claw-like hands. In one fluid motion, it reattached itself, the two halves merging seamlessly. I thought I was going to throw up. We didn't stop running until we reached the edge of the woods, where we collapsed in a heap, gasping for air. From the house, we could see a group of our friends approaching, carrying flashlights and makeshift weapons. "Thank God you're okay," one of them shouted. "Mia called us. She said you were lost in the woods." We tried to explain what had happened, but none of it made sense, not even to us. The creature, the body, the way Caleb had been pulled deeper into the forest, it all sounded like some kind of fever dream. But it wasn't. Back at the house, we tried to piece together what we'd seen. One of our friends, a local, was the first to bring up the word Manananggal. He said it was a creature from Filipino folklore, a being that could separate its upper body from its lower half, sprouting wings to hunt for prey at night. I didn't want to believe it. I still don't. But every detail lined up. The torso, the wings, the growling. It all fit the stories we'd heard growing up, but never truly believed. We swore to keep the events of that night a secret. No one would believe us anyway, and honestly, we didn't want to relive it, but I can't shake the feeling that it's not over. Sometimes, late at night, I hear wings flapping outside my window. And every time, I think back to that night in the woods, and I wonder if we were just unlucky, or if something has been watching us ever since. Thank you for listening, Tony. Writing this down feels like a small weight off my chest, but the fear is still there. It always will be. Sincerely, Marcus. This is one of those stories that leaves you torn between disbelief and an unsettling curiosity. On the one hand, you have Marcus and his cousins, who ventured into the woods on a night when legends became reality. Their descriptions align so closely with the folklore of the Manananggal that it's hard to dismiss as mere coincidence. But on the other hand, you have to wonder, could this have been a shared hallucination? A case of collective fear amplifying the ordinary into the extraordinary? Psychologists often point to something called pareidolia, our brain's tendency to find patterns, especially faces or figures, where none exist. In the darkness of the woods, with adrenaline pumping and fear clouding judgment, could they have misinterpreted shadows and sounds as something supernatural? In Caleb's behavior, was it a reaction to trauma, or did he experience something deeper, something beyond explanation? But let's entertain the other possibility, the one that keeps us up at night. What if the Manananggal isn't just a story? Folklore often stems from real fears, real encounters that evolve into myths over time. Maybe this creature or something like it exists, not just as a tale to scare children, but as a predator lurking on the edges of human experience. What chills me most is Marcus's final note, the sound of wings outside his window. If we believe his account, this wasn't just a one-time encounter. It's personal now, a thread connecting him to the unknown in a way that he can't escape. So, was this just an overactive imagination fueled by fear and folklore, or was it something more? A glimpse into a world we're not meant to understand, and I'll leave that up to you to decide. But one thing's for certain, if you find yourself in the woods on a dark night hearing the flutter of wings overhead, you might want to run. Thanks for joining us on this eerie journey. Stay curious, stay skeptical, and stay safe. Until next time.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.